You could be forgiven for losing track of the legal status of marijuana. It is still considered illegal by the federal government. It is considered legal for medicinal purposes under state law in both California and Oregon. New Oregon law will allow dispensaries, but the city of Medford says it will not. Outside our listening area, marijuana is legal for personal and not just medical use in Washington and Colorado. So confusion is understandable. Under Oregon medical marijuana law, people can and do run businesses, and they'll get a chance to clear up any confusion they have, which could be considerable there as well, and compare notes next week in Ashland at the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference at the Ashland Springs Hotel. That'll be next Thursday and Friday. Alex Rogers is in the studio with me. He is the CEO of Ashland Alternative Health and Northwest Alternative Health and the producer of the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference. Alex, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
It's good to have you here. Anthony Johnson joins us by phone. He is with the Oregon Cannabis Industry Association and New Approach Oregon and is on the OHA, Oregon Health Authority, Rules Advisory Committee on Medical Marijuana Facilities. Anthony, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the fairly easy stuff, Alex Rogers. First of all, tell us what you do at your different – you've got two different businesses you're involved with?
Yeah, well, I've got two different clinics that I run. One is I have one in Ashland and Medford, and then we have one in Eugene also. And what we are is a medical marijuana clinic, and we're simply a doctor's office. And we people who have qualifying conditions, my doctors, if they have a qualifying condition, sign off on their medical marijuana card. So. Sometimes it's a misconception that we're a dispensary. We are not. We are just a doctor's office, so we get patients their cards. Once they get their cards, in the past, there's been two ways to get their medicine. They can grow it themselves, or they can have a surrogate grow their allotted plants for them. Now we have for how long has it been 16 years there's been no, as we call it, safe access for patients to obtain medicine.
No dispensaries.
That's correct. Yeah, and that'll change March 1st, and that's a big game changer.
Which is what Anthony Johnson is involved with as well. Anthony, you're on the OHA Rules Advisory Committee, so that is actually the committee that's helping establish rules for the dispensaries. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a group of 13 of us. Involving activists, lawyers, people with the Oregon Health Authority, law enforcement to help guide the Oregon Health Authority in developing the rules for the upcoming medical marijuana facilities.
And so as from what Alex was saying, I mean, without the dispensaries thus far, just a few here and there in Oregon, and we'll ask in a second how those have existed. Well, actually, you're the lawyer here. Why don't you explain how there have been some places that appear to be dispensaries, and yet we're still working on implementing this dispensary law passed by the last legislature?
Yeah, under the existing Medical Marijuana Act, growers have been allowed to be reimbursed for supplies and utilities. And so facilities that have been providing medical cannabis to patients have been operating either under that law as a nonprofit or under some type of, you know, gray area of the law where they are getting, you know, reimbursed for supplies and utilities, but also charging membership fees or selling other products to help keep them afloat. Under the licensed and regulated medical marijuana facilities, now providers and dispensaries will be able to be reimbursed for the normal and customary costs of doing business. So without businesses being able to be, you know, compensated for their, you know, labor and salary and work, it's been hard for businesses to have certainty as far as the real, you know, economics reality of the situation, but also legally. We have seen different enforcement priorities from, say, Multnomah County versus Jackson County versus Washington County, for instance. And so one of the big benefits of House Bill 3460 and the rules and regulations are certainty towards, you know, licensed and regulated facilities.
So, Alex Rogers, when we talk about, first of all, how many have there been previous Oregon medical marijuana business conferences?
This is the first. It's been sold out for about 2 weeks, so we've added one at the downtown Eugene Hilton for March 20th and 21st. I was compelled to do so when the response was extremely overwhelming for this one, and it is the first of its kind.
All right, well, that raises the question. I mean, how much opportunity has there been for do we have any idea the rough number of businesses doing business as marijuana, whatever's in Oregon?
Right, so there's the resource centers now. Those are what Anthony was just explaining, and then soon they will become dispensaries, and there will be more dispensaries. We don't know who's going to apply. The application process starts March 1st. We can expect there to be somewhat of a rush at that point. But then there's also ancillary businesses, and this is our two main points we're concentrating at the conference, is that we're concentrating on dispensaries, exactly how to run a dispensary, what's the exact application process, what are the exact rules and regulations, what is one municipality's authority to regulate themselves. And then we're also concentrating on ancillary businesses for cannabis, and that can run the gamut. Like I have an ancillary business. I do the cards. What that means, it's kind of the picks and axes metaphor that comes with the gold rush. It wasn't the gold. The people who were panning for gold or finding gold who made the money, it was the people that sold them the picks and axes. So we see this as a huge burgeoning opportunity for folks to get into the cannabis field without dealing directly with the medicine. So whether that's testing or security or insurance or having a clinic or throwing a conference like I'm doing, those are all opportunities that are arising now in the cannabis industry. And how many businesses are there? The curve is probably starting to straighten at this point, and it's burgeoning. And like I said, the response to the conference, I thought it would be a good idea, and I knew it would probably be a big response, but it has been overwhelming.
When you mention the kinds of areas in which people can get involved and that actually sell the marijuana itself, I mean, I looked at your list of vendors, and they included a locksmith.
That's right.
Which hadn't occurred to me. It's like, oh, yeah, there is, you know, security and all the other sorts of concerns.
Exactly,
here.
Yeah.
So for the people who are getting involved into, I mean, is there a real barrier to entry into, I mean, even, is there some sort of taint, I guess, is the question, about getting involved in some business that is even associated with marijuana?
No, if you're not dealing directly with the medicine itself, then you're really mitigating any, almost 100% your a possibility for any federal prosecution. You know, that's not, I'm not the lawyer. Anthony could probably answer that even better. But that's the point of an ancillary business around cannabis, is you're not dealing with the medicine. If the feds are generally concerned about the dispensaries, and they've come out with a memo saying that, we call it the eightfold path, which is the eight things not to do as a dispensary specifically if you don't want to face federal prosecution. And that should strictly be adhered to. And in most cases, I think it is. And of course, in some cases, it wouldn't be. But those folks are the people who become a beacon for the feds. And some of those things are don't deal with any other drugs besides cannabis. Don't deal with firearms in any way. Don't purvey your product to any minors in any way, and so on.
Which seems like a pretty clear field, Anthony Johnson, that when you're telling people what not to do, that's a pretty easy and short list.
Yeah, for instance, and just to clarify, I used to practice law. I don't currently practice criminal defense, although I did practice criminal defense for 2 years in Oregon before I started working, full-time, basically in the more the political realm. And, yeah, ancillary businesses in Oregon have not been prosecuted. You've seen head shops, nutrient shops, grow lights have all been operating, for years with no infringement upon their economic activities from the federal government. And now with the 8 points of light from the federal government, now states have been given the freedom to enact licensed and regulated cannabis commerce. And it's going to open up an industry with cannabis, but also definitely even a bigger industry for the ancillary businesses around it.
We're talking about medical marijuana as a business in Oregon on the eve of the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference, which is actually next Thursday and Friday at the Ashland Springs Hotel in Ashland. Alex Rogers is the producer of the conference and the CEO of Ashland Alternative Health and Northwest Alternative Health. Anthony Johnson, you just heard, is with the Oregon Cannabis Industry Association and is also part of the OHA Rules Advisory Committee on Medical Marijuana Facilities, i.e. dispensaries. Join us on the exchange as we talk about medical marijuana and its application and its business applications across the state state of Oregon. Phone numbers here on the Exchange, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Anthony Johnson, I want to explore the 8 points of light, as you put it, or the eightfold path, as Alex put it. So essentially, you've got the federal government saying, yes, it's still illegal, but if you follow these rules, we will not bust you?
That's basically been the guidance, and it includes keeping marijuana out of the hands of children, keeping the road safe, you don't accumulate guns, you don't transfer across state lines, so long as you maintain a regulated and controlled environment that, you know, isn't infringing upon other states, and we aren't seeing, you know, the sky fall, so to speak, we're going to give you the freedom to, you know, experiment with marijuana industry and allow you to operate.
Is there any provision for hemp itself? And, you know, I know we got a lot of calls from people asking about why we're not allowed to grow hemp in the country because it's so good a fiber for so many purposes.
So that's definitely being worked out as well. Hemp has always been, you know, a big kind of head scratcher for people involved in this, in this business, and that it does provide so many benefits. And the one of the problems with hemp is that to reap the economic benefits, you're going to have to grow a lot of hemp. And to grow a lot of hemp, you have to grow, you know, thousands of plants of hemp. Under our, you know, current marijuana prohibition, hemp and marijuana is classified the same. Thousands of plants of hemp are like growing thousands of plants of marijuana. That brings a hefty federal prison sentence. And so that's just one of the reasons that it's really important to regulate this industry, because hemp is such an important, economic viable industry for this country and our farmers, but it's still one of the things being worked out. And from my understanding, hemp has started being grown in Colorado, and the Oregon Department of Agriculture is currently working on new rules and regulations. Congressman Earl Blumenauer has been a big proponent of this, and we can expect in the near future for Oregon Department of Agriculture to issue licenses for hemp cultivation in Oregon as well.
Let us take a call. We have Bill in Eugene. Oops, no, we don't have Bill in Eugene. Not sure where he went. All right, we're talking about cannabis and medical marijuana specifically, and the Medical Marijuana Business Conference coming up to Ashland next Thursday and Friday. So when you began to assemble this, Alex Rogers, what was the thinking here? What were you trying to do, and for whom?
Well, I have, like I said, a couple clinics, and we see over 4,000 patients a month, so I get feedback constantly from folks, and this conference was kind of spawned from the feedback that I was getting from people. Like you predicated the program with, there's a lot of ambiguity in what's going on, especially with the new dispensary laws, and people were just coming to ask me, hey, what's the real deal, and what's going on with this, and what's going on with that, and and then they were asking me, how else can I get into the, what other things are there we could do in terms of ancillary stuff? And so it really was spawned off the response I was getting from my own patients, and it seemed like the right thing to do in terms of just making a successful business out of these conferences. And it was catered specifically towards people wanting to get into the dispensary industry and people wanting to get into ancillary businesses, which ever since the law passed, people have been coming to me in droves asking me questions.
The comparison you made a little while ago was that the people who made the big money in the gold rush were not necessarily the people looking for gold, but the people providing the picks and the pans and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean,
it's my mantra.
Well, I was going to ask if that was not an accidental comparison. I'm thinking, is this something of a gold rush then, trying to get into the medical marijuana business?
Yes, I mean it's really exciting just in America, especially with the economy being the way it is. To have some type of burgeoning industry or even an alternative, a green industry, if you will. And it's just so exciting to see an opportunity that exists. If we can change drug policy, whether it's state on the state-by-state level or the federal level, we're going to have an advantage on the earth. So the irony is that the drug war was kind of perpetuated by the United States, and now seemingly the United States is going to be the first one, whether it's state by state or federal, which the Fed seem to be capitulating in some degree on all this stuff, the first folks to end the drug war, at least when it comes to cannabis.
Anthony Johnson, how surprising was that when the federal government provided the eightfold path of the eight points of light and said, follow these rules and you'll be okay with dispensaries? I mean, how big a shift does this mark from previous federal policy?
It was definitely a big shift. It's really the policy that we, as activists, had hoped the Obama administration would take. And it's just in the end, it's actually a very conservative idea that you let the states have the ability to enact their own policies as far as economic activity that doesn't infringe upon the rights of other states. But it's something that we had really hoped for. And when the Obama administration first came into office, there was an Ogden memo that came out that we had hoped was basically this path. And then they kind of backtracked, possibly under political pressure, but eventually they came around to an acceptable policy of allowing states to have sensible regulations and seeing how it goes.
Let me invite our listeners to join us once again. We're talking to Anthony Johnson from the Oregon Cannabis Industry Association and the Oregon Health Authority Rules Advisory Committee on Medical Marijuana Facilities, i.e. dispensaries. He's on the phone. Alex Rogers is the CEO at Ashland Alternative Health and the producer of the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference coming up next Thursday, Friday in Ashland. You can join us here on the Jefferson Exchange. We will spend the rest of the hour talking about medical marijuana and the application of the new law and this conference. Join us at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. You were talking just a moment ago, Alex Rogers, about in terms of legalization. Is that the ultimate goal here, is to move beyond medical marijuana into something more like what Washington and Colorado just adopted?
Yes. And that being said, we can never discount medical marijuana, because as we legalize in Oregon specifically, and Anthony's heading up that whole movement, nothing's going to pass without keeping the medical marijuana program intact. And there's a couple reasons that is. One is that there's always an implementation time for when a law passes, for when and then it really goes into effect in terms of implementation. And you don't want a time where that there's this downtime where there's no medical marijuana and all of a sudden patients don't have access to their medicine. Also, the limits are going to be a lot less in with legalization than they are with medical marijuana. So that being said, legalization is inevitable. It's coming soon. Medical marijuana will still be intact. So really, there's two ways to look at this, just culturally speaking. There's recreational use, and there's medicinal use, and maybe 10% of the country uses cannabis for recreational use. However, 80% of the country could probably use cannabis for medicinal use at some time in their lives, and that is that's an arbitrary number, but basically it's saying that cannabis is a medicine. It works for all types of ailments, and it's also a non-lethal medicine in comparison to a lot of these prescription painkillers out there. So what we're seeing medically is that people are able to reduce their usage of prescription pain medication, which can cause cause addiction, liver problems, and so on, by using cannabis. And so we're for legalization. We want legalization completely. And then eventually that legalization will lead to more medical studies, because there needs to be more, anecdotally we can hypothesize, or through anecdotal information, we can hypothesize that cannabis is good for a plethora of things, many ailments. And so with legalization, we'll become the liberalization, if you will, ending the federal research ban on cannabis.
Which is one of the issues with this current categorization. It is not even eligible for research.
It's a Schedule I drug. So if I'm correct me if I'm wrong, Anthony, but it's deemed worse than methamphetamine, which I believe is a Schedule II drug. Is that correct, Anthony?
You're correct.
Yeah, so, you know, so, you know, it's insipid at best and tragic at worst. So what really needs to happen on a federal level is cannabis needs to be rescheduled. And Anthony, maybe you could defer to you on that and the possibility of that happening and how it might happen.
The issue has been raised, I know, Anthony Johnson, but it doesn't seem like there's anybody in Congress who's willing to pick up that ball and make a suggestion out in public.
We have a few congressmen, Congressman Earl Blumenauer in Portland, Jared Polis in Colorado, Republican, Dana Rohrabacher out of California. So there are a few leading the charge on that issue, but definitely most controversial issues, it's slow moving at the congressional level. With, like alcohol prohibition, repealing cannabis prohibition both medically and for recreational use is really going to take pressure from the states just as it is proceeding. And Alex is exactly right. As a Schedule I substance, the federal government deems marijuana with no medicinal value, more addictive than methamphetamines, and it's something that's just a travesty and needs to change soon.
That's an interesting mix of people. If you've got Earl Blumenauer and Dana Rohrabacher, who are poles apart politically, talking about rescheduling marijuana as a Schedule II narcotic. We'll take a short break on the Jefferson Exchange. Talking to Alex Rogers from the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference, and Anthony Johnson will be a speaker at the conference next week in Ashland. Lots more time for questions and answers when we come back to the Jefferson Exchange with our guests and your phone calls back here in a minute 10. It's 8:36 on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. It's a bit of a departure from our normal format. We're taking this whole first hour to talk about the medical marijuana business in the state of Oregon. There is an Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference coming up next week in Ashland. That'll be the 30th and 31st of January, Thursday and Friday. As Alex Rogers, the producer of it, points out, that's already sold out. So there's another conference coming up on March 20th and 21st in Eugene at the Downtown Hilton, essentially all the same speakers. Alex Rogers is one of our guests. Anthony Johnson will be one of the speakers at the Medical Marijuana Conferences, plural. We'll double check and see if he's going to be at the one in Eugene. He's with the Oregon Cannabis Industry Association and sits on the OHA, Oregon Health Authority, Rules Advisory Committee on Medical Marijuana Facilities. And you can join our discussion on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, it's 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. If the Ashland one is sold out, then how many people are attending this thing?
Well, we only had 150 tickets to sell. It's at the I could have sold more, but you know, the hotel really just doesn't – the space just doesn't permit for it. And so, unfortunately, well, for whatever it's worth, it sold out very quickly, and many people have called since it has sold out to get tickets, and so we're just referring them all to the the conference in Eugene on the March 20th and 21st.
So, in addition to Anthony Johnson, who's on the line with us, who are some of the other presenters at this conference?
Well, we have quite a few heavy hitters, including Anthony. We have Troy Dayton from the ArcView Group. They're a capital group. They're that gathers investors to invest in ancillary businesses specifically. He's actually our keynote speaker. We have Debbie Goldsberry, who is one of the founders of Americans for Safe Access, basically the number one lobby group for medical marijuana in the world. And she's also the founder of the Berkeley Patients Group, a very upstanding dispensary in Berkeley. We have Peter Buckley will be there. Of course, he's the one that co-sponsored the dispensary bill.
Oregon State Representative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, itself. And Don Duncan, he's the California Director for Americans for Safe Access, one of the preeminent experts in the world on dispensaries. And the list goes on. If people want to look at the entire list, they can go to ommbc.com. And check out all the speakers and all the exhibitors. And right now it's the Ashland event that's posted, but next week we are going to just switch it to the Eugene event.
Anthony Johnson, since you are involved, and let me let our listeners know too, you're not going to miss the Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keillor. We'll just push that to the back of the hour. That'll be in about 15 minutes. Anthony Johnson, since you do sit on this Rules Advisory Committee on Medical Marijuana Facilities, we did talk with State Representative Peter Buckley and Jackson County's planning chief a few weeks ago, about the whole process of setting up dispensaries. Are the rules in place now, ready for this March 1st launch, or is there still some tinkering going on?
There still will be a little bit of tinkering going on, but the rules, kind of the pre-finalized version, have been released. There's going to be a public comment period. These will most likely be the rules, but they may there may be a few changes around the edges.
And what are some of the big things that people would need to know? First of all, for the benefit of folks in the Rogue Valley, we have, for example, the city of Medford saying, no, they're not going to license any dispensaries. You got the city of Ashland just this week saying, yes, they will. In their city. So is it going to be something of a patchwork of city by city?
So the state application process is not going to get involved with the business licensing at the local level. So the fact that Medford may not issue a business license, but Ashland will, that will not impact whether the state will issue a medical marijuana facility license. So the local issue is going to have to be potentially played out this legislative session in February, or very likely through court action, mm-hmm. As different localities have different kind of rules and regulations as far as what businesses they will license.
So you have the prospect of the legislature passing in February things that are going to affect the edges, at least, of the bill that was passed that's supposed to go into effect on March 1st.
That's a definite potential, and there, you know, the legislature could enact, you know, an emergency clause, so different laws will go into place. For instance, whether localities can ban medical marijuana facilities outright is an open question right now for the courts. Oregon's legislative council has issued an opinion saying they cannot. I assume city's attorneys in Medford and other places have different opinions. So similar to the concealed handgun licensing of medical marijuana patients, how that went to the Supreme Court, unless there's a legislative fix, this may be another issue that has to go to the Oregon Supreme Court.
Yeah, and as for Medford banning them outright, you know, it's been advised that this is a weak legal precedent to argue, and I've always been of the ilk that that Medford should states or locales can regulate dispensaries in terms of zoning. That's clear in the law, so they can zone them.
You'd be very restricted. Yes. Like you're going to be just in these industrial zones over these kinds of places.
That's correct. And if I were the Medford City Council, I would know I was dealing with a weak precedent and want to maintain my legitimate authority over this. And by saying that, well, if this does go to court, like Anthony was saying, they're bound to lose on that, and then they'll revert back to probably just having to be restrictive by their zoning regulations. Would you agree with that, Anthony?
Yeah, I would agree with that. This case is very similar to when a few sheriffs, including Jackson County Sheriff, was denying the concealed handgun licenses of medical marijuana patients. The Supreme Court said, nope, the state law is clear. These people are legal, and that's likely to be the case with the medical marijuana facilities. Localities cannot make something illegal within their local jurisdiction that the state says is legal. That's been the opinion of the legislators that, you know, spearheaded this measure. It's the opinion of legislative council. And Alex is right. Medford and other localities would be wise to adopt the policy of Ashland and come together for common sense regulations that fit the demographics of the neighborhood, of the community, and work that way instead of really waste money on a weak argument.
Taxpayers' money.
Let me invite our listeners to join us once again. We're talking about medical marijuana, the business of medical marijuana. You're hearing two speakers who will be involved at the Medical Marijuana Business Conference in Ashland next week. A very similar conference coming up March 20th and 21st in Eugene. Join us here and now at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's an email from Richard in Redding. He says, there was a substantial multi-location marijuana grower here in Shasta County that has been shut down by California. There's no way to account for the inventory of the crop, and some of it always gets into the illegal drug trade. Additionally, pot farms located close to homes of other people lower property values of the residences hereby, or nearby, I guess he meant. The farmers, not being allowed firearms, own pit bulls and Dobermans that pose problems for pets and people of the neighborhood. Again, that's from Richard in Redding, California. What do you say about the people who are concerned about medical marijuana and the way that it is grown and by whom and some of the ancillary stuff that comes with that?
I understand the concerns. I mean, the thing is that's why we're regulating cannabis. If you want to mitigate these concerns, then what needs to be done is implement proper public policy. I don't know about the emailer's question. It was a little bit critically loaded, but a lot of people do have those concerns, whether it reduces one's property value, whether everyone has pit bulls or not. You know, I'm sure in some cases that is true. However, you know, here in Medford, we've heard that the smell it can be a problem. You know, and so anytime you implement common sense public policy, you're going to be mitigating some of these concerns. That being said, you're never going to please anybody, but you can mitigate a lot of those concerns.
Yeah, I'd like to add, you know, the situation in California is a patchwork situation without statewide regulations. It goes county by county.
Right.
And if you don't have proper regulations, these are problems that are going to occur only more and more, because so long as there is money to be made in marijuana, people are going to enter that market, either a regulated market or an underground market, and you're going to have these problems with people infringing upon the rights of other people in the neighborhood and their communities unless you have clear regulations. Just as, you know, alcohol prohibition caused all kinds of problems, so does marijuana prohibition. And the only way to end those problems that he discussed in California are to have clear and concise rules and regulations that fit the community and fit the state.
So, Anthony Johnson, back to square one then. I mean, as the dispensary system gets set up in Oregon, who can grow for those dispensaries and how much can they grow?
Yeah, so the growers for the dispensaries are the same growers under the current Medical Marijuana Act. So under current law, until the dispensaries are licensed and regulated, under current law, growers can be reimbursed for supplies and utilities. After the licensed and regulated medical marijuana facilities go into effect, then growers, current medical marijuana growers, are able to be reimbursed for the normal and customary costs of doing business. So they'll be able to get compensated for, you know, more things than just their supplies and utilities, but it's just going to be regular, the same medical marijuana growers that are growing under the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program today.
All right. So with the supplies and utilities, then essentially your hard costs are covered and no more, though. But it sounds like under the new system, you'll be able to actually make something of a profit on it, some money for yourself.
Yeah, it looks like it. Normal customary cost of doing business should include salary, labor, you know, rent and insurance, and to be able to operate as a normal business does.
Let's take a call. We have Steve and Eugene on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Anthony Johnson and Alex Rogers. We're talking medical marijuana.
Howdy. Currently, under the medical marijuana law, you can either grow or have a auxiliary grower provide you with pot for free. And I wonder how much per ounce are you guys going to be charging out of these dispensaries? Now, I understand if you want to, you still, as a patient, can grow your own, too.
Mm-hmm. All right, so will the dispensaries increase the cost, I think, is what the question gets down to. Steve, thanks for that. Anthony, you want to take that on?
Well, the personal relationship between a grower and a patient does not change. So if a grower is providing free cannabis for their patient, they can continue to do so. And growers can only get reimbursed by the medical marijuana facilities if their patient signs an authorization form allowing some of their excess cannabis to go to the medical marijuana facility. So in the end, this doesn't change the patient-grower relationship. That still remains. This just allows the patient's grower to be reimbursed for more of the cost of growing and producing the cannabis.
And for as for prices, whether it go up or down, one interesting thing about the Oregon, the new Oregon dispensary law is that there are no added taxes, like excise taxes or even fees. The only fee is your application fee, and as I understand it, that is how the new bureaucracy is going to be funded. Otherwise, like if you look at other states, there even California has a sales tax. We don't have a sales tax. No other taxes were enumerated in the law, and so therefore you're looking at, for example, in Washington and Colorado, you're looking at major, major added taxes above and beyond just your normal cost of tax, you know, your normal write-offs and paying tax on your net income like any other business. You're going to have all these taxes in Colorado and Washington that are could be looked at as somewhat prohibitive and are raising the prices. In Oregon, we don't have those taxes under medical auspices specifically. Therefore, we do not expect a price increase. In fact, there could even be a decrease because of the competition now.
Anthony Johnson, is there any projection on how many dispensaries are expected? Is there a logical limit? Is there a statutory cap or a city-by-city cap? I mean, how is this going to work?
Yeah, there's no statutory cap. There is a practical cap in the fact that the facilities cannot be within 1,000 feet of a school. They cannot be within 1,000 feet of each other, and they cannot be located within purely residential areas. So there is a cap that way on, you know, just on the kind of practicalities of it, but there is not an arbitrary cap on the number of dispensaries that may open up.
When you describe the situations, though, where you can people can release their surplus to be sold through a dispensary, I mean, the whole system still sounds like it's got something of the nature of a workaround. Alex Rogers.
Well, I guess I'd defer to Anthony on that one because he's on the Rules and Regulations Committee. I see it as I see this whole thing as somewhat of a workaround in each respective state.
In the sense that it is not just true legalization of marijuana.
That's exactly correct. And then it just puts the onus on the legislators, the activists, the people to legalize cannabis and eventually end all criminal penalties for cannabis and amnesty, let nonviolent cannabis offenders out of jail and prison.
You mentioned seeing 4,000 patients a month. Is that at each of the two clinics you run?
Yeah, that's combined.
Combined, also.
So I do about 3,000 here in the Rogue Valley and about 1,200 up in Eugene. But we're a newer clinic in Eugene. We're only a couple years old there, and we're 5 years old here in the Rogue Valley.
So are some of these repeat patients, or are you talking about 4,000 new patients
that's
a month?
That's every year, is what we see. And a lot of those are renewals, as we say, and a lot of those are new patients. So if one gets their medical marijuana card and they want to keep it, they have to renew it every year.
What do you say to the charge of people, though, who say, look, you know, there are so many people who are defining the idea of chronic pain, for example, down so that more people will be eligible for marijuana cards?
Well, you know, it's pretty amazing. When I opened up originally, I thought I'd be having a lot of young hipsters come and get their cards. But the reality of the matter, there's two things that we do not sign any cards unless they have documentation of chronic pain or some other qualifying condition from another health provider. So that's simple. And the onus then lies on the person to be the respective patient to be truthful to their health provider, because we just go by other doctor's notes. We don't go by what the patient says. It needs to be documented already. So right there, that should be noted. What else should be noted is that I did think there would be like young hipsters. I remember advertising at this college, my alma mater, SOU, when we first started, and getting almost little to no response. What we are getting a response is, is from baby boomers. It's amazing. Our demographic is probably the average patient is probably 50 years old, and what I've seen is that it's people are on these prescription pain medications, and it's being able to reduce that if not they're not able to get off them altogether.
Alex Rogers is the producer of the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference next Thursday and Friday in Ashland, March 20th and 21st in Eugene. Anthony Johnson is with the Oregon Cannabis Industry Association and is on the Rules Advisory Committee on Medical Marijuana Facilities. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Appreciate it, Jeff.
All right, thanks for having me.
Here's the Writer's Almanac.